All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, November 12th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have a 9-game NBA main slate. We have a, over in the NHL streets, a 4-game main slate. We have 3 games of college football, and then we have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of 3 ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Apologies for the delay. Was having a couple of technical issues. Had to sort out before we got the stream rolling. But we are up and running now. And so why don't we get SaberSim up on the screen. Hi, Andrew. Hey, what's going on? Glad you're catching the show. All right. We're just going to work from the top down here. I've grabbed some questions from Discord, threw them in the chat. We have some questions coming in here for live questions as we're rolling. So we will just start at the top and work our way down. All right. First question. The field lineups update along with projections, or only if someone is ruled out or a change in role? Good question. So field lineups update when ownership updates. So an update to ownership equals an update to field lineups. The easiest way to tell about an update is to check the timestamp. So here, if I go on desktop, if I go and hover over the refresh projections icon, I can see, one, the last time projections ran or were updated, two, the last time ownership was updated. So generally speaking, projection changes are going to lead to ownership adjustments. I think that it is okay if you see a sim run and you do not see ownership update, only in the event that there are no significant projection changes. I think the most likely time you're going to see this is in NHL. So like if we pull up the NHL lineup alert channel, we had a number of sims run, but a lot of them say no significant projection changes. So in this scenario, right, you're going to see projection timestamp update, but you might not see ownership timestamp update. I would expect the ownership updated for Luukkonen getting ruled out, Ellis getting ruled in, but I would not expect ownership to update for these other no significant projection changes sims that ran. So those are the big things to be aware of. And then if you're on mobile, there's actually like a little clock icon next to under the build lineups button. I'm pretty sure it's on like the mid right side. There's a clock and click it and it'll show you those same timestamps since you can't hover on mobile. All right, we have kind of 2 questions that I want to couple together here. The first one is, what is a good strategic approach to 20 max in NBA? And then another question, can you show what settings, if any, may be good to change for 20 entry contests versus 150? So these 2 questions kind of go together. We're gonna tackle them together here. So as far as settings, right? And actually, my answer is going to go for like all contests. I do not think you should have like a different process for like your single entries and then a different process for your 3 max and then a different process for your 20 and then a different process for your 150, right? I really think you should have kind of a sport and style process, right? Like maybe I have a process for classic NBA, but then I also have a process for NBA Showdown, right? That feels like that is what I do, you know, and I feel like that's like a good approach after, you know, many years of like trial and error. I would say that, you know, that's kind of where I've netted out because, you know, showdowns duplication matters so much. In classic slates, duplication matters so little. So you really kind of need to like branch those into like two different paths. But as far as like the sport goes, you know, the sport is still the sport, right? So I would just be taking that sport approach and then two different styles, right? That's kind of what I'm doing. So as far as settings or anything go, I'm really not changing anything. You know, if you want to set like a filter, you know, I think it's okay to set something for like very low projected players. Maybe you don't want to even see some of these guys that, you know, have 0 point something ownership, right? Where they might sneak into like a couple lineups, not many, but maybe you don't even want to consider them, right? So maybe you set some cutoff. And I'm just looking here, like our first like 1% owned player is about 19 points. So maybe you set a cutoff. I'm renaming my filter so I can reuse it, so I can just know what it says. Maybe I say something like show players with projection greater than 17, right? Just for like this slate, right? But this is going to change. You know, you got to be careful with like hard and fast rules because what if we have another 4-game slate or 5-game slate, right? Is 17 the right number? I'm not really sure, you know? So this isn't even something we really recommend. It's just something you can consider if you're looking to, you know, curate your player pool a little bit. No rules we really recommend here, and no changes to sliders. If you want to do anything with minimum salary, I would recommend increasing it and not decreasing it. You know, I'm going to bump it up 500 here. Again, I'm just kind of going over, you know, things at your disposal. But if we thought there was a better minimum salary to have, we would simply change it for you, right? We would make the default 48.5 instead of 48,000, you know? So just some thoughts there on different things you can do. Don't have to do any of them. So that's as far as like the settings go. And that is not specific to any one contest size. Now getting into the, you know, kind of strategic approach, right? We'll just kind of build some lineups here, right? So let's say I'm going to build 500 lineups. I'm just going to make the two required adjustments here, and I'm just going to make them in the my own column to unlock this build lineups button. That's going to have effectively no impact on the lineups that get built. So then I kick off this build. And we will let this run. All right, so our lineups are running. I'm going to create a group right now. And we're going to do create a group with 20 lineups. All right, I'm just going to switch to Uniques 1, switch to Saber Score here. And I'm going to sort by exposure. So this is kind of the process you want to go through, right? I would say minimal adjustments up front. Run your build. Generally, stick with Portfolio or Portfolio Plus if you have it. I just switched to Uniques 1 Saber Score for ease here. And then come into your player table. You know, you want to sort by exposure, right? Because this is going to give you an idea, hey, what players am I taking the biggest stand on? What players do I have the most leverage on? And these two columns are like really what you want to kind of spend your time analyzing and making sure that you're comfortable with. Right. So here I have an average projection, aggregate metric, and average saber score. These are good things to reference. And now it's just kind of about dialing this in. Right. So, like, this came up yesterday, and I think this is like a good example of it. You know, here, right, my highest exposed player is Miles Bridges, and he's 80%, but he's about 34% owned. Right. So I'm a little over 2x him here. Not by too much, but a little bit, right? He's a little over 2x. Then I have Kalel Ware here, who's 75% exposed. But the difference, right, is he's only 16% owned. So now I'm almost 5x where here, right? And this is because we're using Unique's one, which is like a little more aggressive. You know, I would be more inclined of changing where because we're almost 5x his ownership as opposed to Bridges. And some people might be asking like, hey, what are good ranges? You know, generally, I think it's okay to be in like the 2 to 3x range. I think that's okay. I think there's times for exceptions, right? Like I think Duncan Robinson's a good example. You know, his ownership is, and this could be like players recently ruled out, stuff's not updated, but his ownership is showing 0.24, but we have him in 45% of our lineups, right? Well, for 2 to 3x in the field, that means we only have 2 to 3% of him, right? That I don't think that's really moving the needle here. So like I'd be more open to having Robinson at like 10%. Maybe I keep leverage on Ware, but I lower him to like 50. And now we're just kind of dialing this in, right? We're making some adjustments. We're trying to get to a point where we are more comfortable with the individual risk that we're taking on specific players. So like I lowered Norman Powell as well to be a little bit lower, closer to like 3 to 4x here. And it's just about dialing in, right? Bridges would be like another example, like we'd want to lower him. And I could just sit here and kind of, you know, dial this in as much as I like really want to, right? And basically until I'm happy. So I think portfolio will take away the need for doing all this. I don't have an entry file uploaded here. So I'm using Unique's one, but portfolio does a way better job of doing this a lot more naturally, a lot without a lot less manual involvement. And I think it does a really good job of doing that. But here I've said about, I don't know, 5-ish, 5 to 6 maybe adjustments. And I'm pretty happy with where it nets out, right? But there's just kind of that extra step of like adding in more guardrails with Unique's one than with portfolio where it kind of gets to that outcome by its own. So I would stick with portfolio for all plans. But yeah, that's about it. You know, dial this in. Once you're happy, save this, upload it, and you'll be ready to rock and roll. All right, next question. If you have a chance later, can you go over building a core for NFL if you can, please? I am new and still watching videos to get familiar with the tools. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. So our NFL projections, our initial projections should be up now. Our projections typically go up Wednesday afternoons, kind of around the time the first injury reports come out. So we take in some of that news and then we get projections up. Let's see. Looks like projections are mostly up. I don't know if any games are missing, but we'll just roll with what we have. So when you're building a core, right, there's a couple different ways to do it. Number one way would be, and I'm actually just getting rid of this group. If you just lock a player, they're going to pop up in this lineup card. Okay. Now you can go through and lock multiple players until you're satisfied, right? Maybe I want to lock CMC and Rashee Rice, for instance. Okay, you know, I go in, I click those two players, and then I click build lineups. After I do that, those two players are going to be in 100% of the lineups that I generate. That is one way of using a core. Another way of using a core would be to set the player's minimum exposures to 100%. So when you do that, you actually don't get the lineup card to populate. Some people don't like it. You know, we have different ways of doing things. So, you know, I have CMC and then I have Rashee Rice. That's another way of doing it. Third option would be to go to your rules, go to add new rule, go to group manual, and I would say use at least X. And maybe what you want to do is you want to take a group of players that you like, and I'm just going to pick 5 high projected position players. And I'm going to tell the builder, use at least 2, right? Like, hey, I know these guys are really good. I want to play at least 2 of them, right? This would be another way of building a core where you're not being super prescriptive as to which players it has to use, but you know, at least every lineup is going to have at least 2 of these guys, right? That is another way of doing it. So there's a lot of kind of avenues here. You just got to kind of figure out which one works the best for you. And, you know, different options have different use cases. So any are viable. There's not one that is the best. All right, next question. If I am mostly just trying to win tickets in competitions that have 20 tickets to be won, what is a good strategy? Cash signups, and how would I do that in the software? Good question. So it's going to depend how many entrants there are in these contests, right? Like, okay, you know, you're entering some of these super satellites. Well, if only, you know, the top 10% of lineups are winning a ticket, then you really don't want to use cash lineups, right? You want to continue to use GBP style lineups. Now, where you're going to want to potentially make a change, I would say, would be in how you sort your lineups. So like, let's say you're playing a contest where like top 10% win a ticket, right? You could consider using uniques one and choosing your rank by, changing it to percentile, and changing it to one of these percentile options depending on the payout structure, right? The top 20% get paid. Use the 85th percentile because these are the lineups that score the highest 15% of the time. So you want always want to be within your payout range, right? If you're top 10%, use the 5%, which is the 95th percentile, right? If it's less than that, if it's top 3%, use the 99th percentile because these are the top 1% scores, right? The percentiles can be useful in scenarios like these, especially if you don't have contest sims. So this is a good strategy, I would say, on the starter subscription. If you're on Ultimate, your contest sims will take into account the exact payout structure. So it will still know that only the top 6% of lineups get paid, and it will sim the contest appropriately and then give say again, you don't need to worry about switching from ROI to win rate or to cash rate or anything like that because, you know, when only the top 6% are getting paid, well, guess what? All of your ROI is coming from being in the top 6%. So it's totally okay to still use ROI in that instance. All right, next question. Prior to running your final sims, is there a best practice on how to build lineups earlier in the day to get a better feel of the slate, and what should we be looking for? Yeah, good question. So I think it's good to just run a build earlier in the day, honestly, so you don't have blank lineups, right? Like just run something, even if it's 30 minutes before, if it's an hour before, you know, let's say you're going to wait for, you know, an NBA slate till the last 15 minutes. You know, I'm going to do my final run 15 minutes before. Well, maybe 30 minutes before I do a run and I'm just like, hey, I'm going to take my reserved entries, I'm going to put lineups in them and I'm going to submit it, right? Just so I have something in there. And then I'm going to still going to come back 15 minutes before and do my final run, right? I would do that for NFL. You know, you could do it. You could do a run 2 hours before lock, before inactives come out, and then do a final run after inactives come out, right? There's a lot of opportunity there to just protect yourself where you never end up in a situation where you have, you know, no lineups. If the internet goes out, if you have trouble using SaberSim, if a number of different things come up, right? So I think that's always good practice. Second thing is, what should you be looking for, right? If you're just kind of researching, I would say I would be looking at a couple things. You know, let's take like tonight's NBA slate, for example. When I'm trying to get a feel for the slate, when I'm trying to kind of get an idea of like, hey, what are the spots I want to explore, things like that, right? A couple of things I'm looking at. Highest projected players, highest owned players, and highest value players. I think these three things are very, very important. And those are the things that I would be focusing on because they're going to tell you a lot about the slate, right? Like, okay, who are the highest projected players? Okay, Wemby. Okay, Cade. All right, who are the highest owned players? Bridges, Jared Allen, and then who are the highest value players, right? When you do this, it's going to give you places to look. For instance, I sort by value, see a bunch of Cleveland guys are coming up. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. You know, why are there so many Cleveland players up here? And then I go to Cleveland, sort by projection, Oh, Donovan Mitchell's out. Oh, Evan Mobley's out. Oh, Darius Garland's out. And you guys might not be able to see it. But yeah, like all, the, you know, look at these guys' salaries, 7,400, 8,500. They have a 6K player out. They have a 9,100 player out. This is, you know, a lot of high salary players. And then you look at the salaries that are left, 6,300 and 6,500 are the highest that are left. So at least the three highest salary players on this team are not playing today. You know, that should be like ding, 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 ding. You know why? Okay. So now this value makes sense. You know, I'm getting a feel for the slate. I'm figuring out where the value is, why the value is there. And then, just taking mental notes or physical notes or whatever it is, right, about these spots. I think status can be a good one, right? Going into status and looking at your questionables. Hey, who do I need to be aware of? Oh, Cade Cunningham was one of my highest projected players. He's questionable. Duren, a high projection, questionable. High ownership as well, right? Ja Morant, 14% owned. Especially these higher salary guys, right? I want to make sure, hey, what is their status before the game? Because guess what? What if Cade and Jalen get ruled out? You know, opens up huge value for Detroit. You know, we want to be aware of these things. So I think like status, value, ownership, all those things really, really important when you're trying to get a feel for the slate. And then I think those are things that you can take into account when you do an initial run, right? And then maybe you're looking at like some exposures, which players are popping up, and just kind of go from there. Another question, how can I get my review, get you to review my NBA or NFL lineups? Yeah, good question. So either one, send us an email, support@sabersim.com, just asking for a builder view, or two, you can post it in the office hours channel in Discord. And when you do that, we will be able to get a review back over to you or follow up with any questions that we might need. DK username, what slate, what date, what site, all that kind of stuff. So you reach out to us one of those two ways, office hours channel or support@sabersim.com, and we will follow up accordingly and take it from there. All right. Doubling back here to office hours. Looks like we're caught up there. And we are caught up here in the YouTube chat. Jay Johnson said, thanks as always. You're welcome. And looks like we're all caught up. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.